Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
We've been talking about love and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and He's about developing this love in our hearts and our lives. Romans chapter 5 and verse 3, it says this. It says, we glory in tribulations. And the word glory means what God originated and intended. So here's what that is. I'm going to glory in tribulations. Tribulations means trouble. So I'm going to glory in trouble. Here's what that's saying. It takes trouble in your life to bring out what God originated and intended your life to be. Without the trouble, you can't be what God created you to be. The trouble has to be there. That's good news, isn't it? You see, when you know that and you're connected to a people that understand that, that breeds confidence. See, that breeds confidence. That shows me that I know who I am. I belong with them. Confidence, C-O-N, con, means with. Fidence is the Latin word for faith, with faith. When I'm confident, I have my faith. I'm with faith. I'm standing in faith. I'm with these people that believe, and we're faith people. I'm confident. You see, that's what a lot of people have. They have a lack of confidence. You got to walk like you believe and talk like you believe. And wherever you go, you got to look like you believe. Am I making sense? So we glory in tribulations. Watch. What's tribulations produce? Perseverance. And perseverance is a virtue and a character, an attribute of God. Okay? It's only produced by trouble. And perseverance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint. Because why? Because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And that's what God is doing. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing. He's shedding His love, trying to permeate every area of your life, your finances, your relationships, the way you do your job. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. You're to do everything as unto the Lord. That's what the Holy Spirit's trying to develop in you. That's that love. Now, perseverance. What do we say perseverance looks like? Perseverance is, remember we talked about last week, devotion, discipline, and duty. That's what it is. That's why we persevere. Because we're devoted to God. We're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. No other gods before Him, right? We're to put God first because other things are trying to get your devotion. So that's the idea. You want to remain devoted to God. And when you're devoted to God, He's going to help put the pieces of your life together. But the problem is we allow other things to get our devotion. See, what you're devoted to, you will serve and you will obey. And see, a lot of people are devoted to sex. Pornography is a $1 trillion business right now on the internet. $1 trillion. That's saying somebody's devoted to that. Are you with me? That right there will destroy you. If that's all you think about, that's your God. See, what you're devoted to, that's what you think about. Money. Jesus said you can't serve God and mammon, money, at the same time. Money is a big problem. Here's the idea. Jesus didn't say beware and take heed about anything like He did money. He said beware, take heed that you do not covet. That word covet is taken from the word covetal, a covetal promise to a king. In other words, when you had a covetal promise to a king, you served that king, you worshiped that king, you did everything for that king. And He said, goes on and talks about money. Money can be very subtle. You can worship money. Well, I don't have any money. You think about it all the time? If that's what you're thinking about all the time, that's your God. You may not have any, but hey, that's your God. Your idol will find you out, and it will kick your butt. It will kick you while you're down. So, well, I have plenty of money. I don't have to worry about money. Shoot, I got plenty of money. Well, if that's all you think about, that's your God. What removes that is when you tithe. When you're a tither, it removes all that anxiety and all that worry about money. And that's why God has principles. And that's why we need discipline. I'm here to tell you, if you understand that you're to be tithing and you don't do it, I question your being a Christian. I doubt you are a Christian. How could you be in this world and not know and see and understand, and you're going to withhold that back? I doubt you're a believer. Folks, listen. If we're going to advance God's kingdom, if we really love God, it's going to show up in what you're devoted to. Because tithing will remove that from your life. It will remove anxiety, worry, depression. It removes that. Because you're trusting that God is going to take care of you. And He will. He'll make sure that you're provided for. That's why we got to beware of what we're devoted to. What are we devoted to? We want to make sure it's God. And remember, discipline. Proverbs 25:18 says, "He who has no rule over his own spirit is like a city with broken down walls." Remember, we use the analogy of that you drive into a city and it says you're now entering the city limits. In other words, in that city, there are limitations and principles in place to govern that city for the protection and well-being of the people in that city. Now, if you get outside those limitations, you are subject to the authorities in that city. And that's the same way it is in God. When we are under His word and we are under Him, then we have to govern our lives in His ways. And that protects us in the kingdom of God. Am I making sense? And that's why it takes discipline to do that. Well, you have to be disciplined in order to be devoted to your God. Because if there's no discipline, you're gonna end up not being devoted to Him. Because there's a lot of things trying to get your devotion. Think about this. When you're tempted, okay? I remember, a couple weeks ago, I woke up and I was tired. I'd done funerals. I'm just totally spent. And I woke up and I was supposed to go to CrossFit. That's this place where I work out. The idea is I didn't want to go at all. I wanted to roll over and just say the heck with it. But here's what happened. I rolled over, and inside me, devotion, discipline, and duty rose up inside of me. And here's what happened. I started thinking about my granddaughter, Zeta. And I started, I got to stay disciplined in order to stay devoted for her. And then I could see myself holding this new grandbaby. You understand what I'm saying? My new grandson. I could see in my mind's eye, I play the movie. See, that's what I do. I play the movie. I don't do it all. It just happens. And so I'm thinking, I had to get up and get moving. And then they ended up putting my picture on the website. I didn't want that, but that's what that was a result of. See, I obeyed God in that. And then they put my picture on the website. Isn't that silly? But it's a reality. I believe that was a God thing. That's love. See, that's love. That's what we're talking about. That's love. Because it's not about us, is it? You're not here for you. You're here for other people. See? Devotion, discipline, and what? Duty. Here's what duty means. Duty means the service and function in the lives and well-being of others. So that's why you're devoted, and that's why you stay disciplined, because you are in service to other people. Who's other people? Your children, your grandchildren, your family, the people you work with, the people in church, the people you go to the grocery store. That's your duty. And your duty is not what you want to do. Your duty is what you ought to do. And that's love. And that all happens out of perseverance. All right, go with me to Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such there is no law. Okay, what we are looking at today is this we're going to continue in this area of the ministry of the Holy Spirit and to walk in love, and this love, because that's what he's trying to develop in all of us, is the love of God in every area of our life. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we're going to look at verse 4. But notice in verse 1, he says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal." They were having problems in the Corinthian church with the people speaking what they thought was right, and all, and is causing divisions and problems. They had a problem with giving. They had opinions. See, our opinion doesn't matter. Your opinion doesn't matter. My opinion doesn't matter. Only thing that matters is what this says. That's what matters. That's what we're created to live in. And you know what that means? Become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. In the Greek culture, a clanging cymbal, they take cymbals, clang them together, and it was the beginning of a war. It announced the war is on. See, that's what these people were causing, because they were giving their own opinions. It was creating wars and divisions in the Corinthian church. And that's what Paul is referring to. And that's why, because what they were saying wasn't motivated out of the love of God. Because it says, "But whoever keeps my word, truly the love of God is being perfected in them." 1 John 2:5. So what they were saying wasn't coming out of the love of God. He says, "Though I give everything I have, and though my body to be burned and everything I have to the poor, if love isn't motivating it, it's empty. Nothing. It means nothing if it's not motivated out of the love of God." 1 Corinthians 13:4. We got to see what love looks like. And look what it says. Love suffers what? Long. Now, we're going to look at what love is. This word "suffers long" or "long suffering," this is what it means. It means, it's a compound word, and it's this Greek word makrothumia. And it's spelled makrothumia. The first part of this word, makros, and this means, this is what it means. It indicates something that is long, distant, far, remote, and of a long duration. And the second part of that word, thumos, this is what it means. It means emotion and passion. And it also means anger. It means swelling emotions. Anger is just compassion being withheld, not being able to be released. Swelling emotions or strong and growing passion about something. So that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be long-suffering towards people. See, people get patience and long-suffering mixed up. Patient is always towards circumstances and conditions. Long-suffering is always towards people. Always. Love suffers long. Long-suffering is always towards people. The Bible says God is not slack concerning his promises, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God is long-suffering. No matter how we act, God is still up there saying, "Come on, I love you. There's nothing going to change that. Come on." He's long-suffering toward us. That's the way God wants us to be towards people. You see this? Long-suffering. That's the agape love. So anytime you see long-suffering, it's never about conditions. It's never about circumstances. It's always about a person in your life. This long-suffering is ready to forbear and patiently wait until a certain person finally comes around and makes progress, changes, or hears what you are trying to communicate or teach them. That's what long-suffering is. Now listen, this is a picture of a person whose feelings for someone else are so passionate that he or she doesn't easily give up or bow out. Instead, they keep on going and going and going, even though the other person doesn't quickly respond. Agape love doesn't throw in the towel and quit. In fact, the harder the fight, the longer the struggle, the more committed agape love is. Did you get that? You see, we're talking about the love of God and the love that God is developing in us. Remember, there's four kinds of love. There's eros love, that's sexual and self-gratifying love. And then there's filial love, that's a mutual relationship love. And then there's storge, that's the family kind of love. And then there's the agape love. The agape love is the high-level love. Those other three loves are the low-level love. And God is always desires us to walk in the high-level love. Now look, this is contrary to human nature, which says, I'm sick and tired of waiting and believing. If they don't come around soon, I'm finished with this relationship. Human nature is short-tempered and intolerant. But agape love is supernatural. See, it's natural to quit when somebody's not responding in the way you want them to. It's natural. But agape love is supernatural. And remember, the word super means above. Above the natural. We are to operate above the natural. Because we are supernatural beings. We are spiritual beings. And that's what God has called us to do. And that's what agape does. It's supernatural. Now listen. But agape is supernatural and becomes stronger and more committed the longer it takes to get through to the heart of the one who is being loved. This kind of love changes you and it changes others. See? That's because it's supernatural. You see, as you can, because you're dependent on God. You're devoted to God. You're going to God. You see this? I'm going to God. I'm devoted to Him. He's my devotion. I'm getting my love. I can keep giving love. I have love ability. I have the ability to love you regardless of how you're treating me. You see that? That's the kind of love He's developing in us. And that's the agape love. Doesn't that make sense? And you know what that does? That changes you and it changes other people. That's power right there. But how many times do we quit and give up? You know why? Because we've changed our devotion. Our devotion is no longer God. It's something else, what we want. Here's the next part. You ready? Love suffers long. What now? What's the next one? And is what? Kind. Love is kind. This is the Greek word for the word kind. C-H-R-E-S-T-E-U-O-M-A-I. And this is what it means. It means to be adaptable or compliant to the needs of others. That's what kindness means. To be adaptable or compliant to the needs of others. You see, when you're operating in agape love and you're being kind, when somebody's kind to you and you return kindness, that's not God's kindness. Jesus said, what good is it when you love the world, when they love you and you return love? That's not love. I want you to love your enemies and bless those who persecute you. And be kind to the evil and the good. Luke 6:35. See? Luke 6:35. You're to be kind to the good and the evil. Now watch this. This kindness only shows up when somebody's doing you wrong. When I give back better than what somebody's given me. That's kindness. You see that? It's never kindness when somebody's being kind to me and I'm being kind back to them. That's not God's kindness. That's being nice, and the word nice isn't even in the Bible. Because see, kindness is operating out of supernatural love. Now, here's the thing. Well, that's not fair. They're just not fair. You know, it's not fair. They just don't treat me the way I treat them. They're just not being fair. Fair is not even in the language of the kingdom of God. If I treat you fair, here's what happens. Here's what fair does. I'm going to give you what you give me. If you always give them back what somebody gives you, what gets accomplished? That's why we got so many problems. God says, I want you to give back better than what people are giving to you. You see that? This being fair. If someone is always demanding, that's not fair. That's off. You can rest assured that person is looking for their own well-being and they're looking out for number one. That's not fair. Listen, let that be a sign. Because God isn't about being fair. Right? If He was about being fair, we'd all be in trouble. Here's the idea. You give back better than what people are treating, how they're treating you. And I'm going to tell you what. You see what that does? That protects your soul. That protects your mind, your will, and your mind. That keeps you free to make decisions and continue on in being what God created you to be. You see that? That's power. That's supernatural. You can't do that on your own. You have to be dependent on God. You have to stay devoted. Now, listen to this. When this kind of love and being kind is working in your life, you don't demand that others be like you. Instead, you want to bend over backwards to become what others need you to be for them. That's what kindness does. This being kind portrays a willingness to serve and to change in order to meet the needs of others. It's the antithesis of selfishness and self-centeredness. Do I become what others need me to be? Or do I demand that others be like me? Real agape love doesn't think of itself first. The person that walks in agape love adapts to those around him in order to touch them, to help them, to heal them, to impact them in a meaningful way to advance the kingdom of God. Now, we're going to go to this next one. Love does not what? Envy. So here, God places things right in place. So this is what love is not. Love does not envy. So he showed us kind. Now he's going to show us love is not envy. Now look at this. The word envy in the Greek language, this is what this word is. Zelos. Z-E-L-O-S. This portrays a person who is radically consumed with his own desires and plans. This is a person so bent on getting his own way that he is willing to sacrifice anything or anyone to get it. Did you get that? We've all operated in that. But folks, that's not the love of God. Listen, you would describe this person as being ambitious and self-centered. Envy. Ambitious and self-centered. His own plans are paramount in his own mind, and everyone else comes after him. Love is kind and does not envy. We must ask ourselves, are we demonstrating these characteristics of agape love in our own life? If we answer, yes, we are, praise God, right? Praise God. But if we don't, if we're not, praise God anyways. Why? Because God is revealing a deficiency in our lives. And this is something that we can do. If we embrace it, we can walk in this. God is revealing that right now. He's showing us this deficiency in our life. And so we can step up and we can really walk in this. This is not something God has not called. This is something we can do. Agape. Here's the next part. Love does not parade itself. The word parade is also the word vaunteth. And this is the Greek word for both those words. P-E-R-P-E-R-E-U-O-M-A-I. This is what this means. Parade itself. Now catch this. It means a lot of self-talk. That's what it means. A lot of self-talk. When you parade yourself, you like to talk about yourself a lot. This means a lot of self-talk, and it describes a person who is endlessly promoting himself and exaggerates his own virtues. When you see these people coming, immediately you look for a way to escape. Because when this person starts talking about himself, his projects, his ideas, his accomplishments, they boast in such a degree that it's outright obnoxious. The problem is, here's the problem, they're not aware of how full of themselves they really are. They're not aware of it. Anybody been around those kind of people? They're not even aware that they're doing it. They're just full of themselves. People who exaggerate, now listen, people who exaggerate boast and boast endlessly because they have a hidden agenda. They want to promote or they want to gain some higher position or place of authority. They are trying to make an impression that might give them a special status or recognition in the eyes of others. Or they just feel driven to prove their self-worth. They are insecure. When you always have to be boasting and bragging and talking about yourself, you are an insecure person. This does not demonstrate the way agape love behaves. Now listen, real agape never flaunts itself in this matter. Watch this. Instead, it wants to focus. Agape love focuses on the accomplishments of others in order to build them up and make them feel more valuable and more secure. You see, that's why people want to be where love is. Because where love is, people want to be there. They want you there. You see that? That's why where this is in place, the churches that are operating in this, they're growing. Because people want to be there. They know they're loved. You know what it does? It makes you feel valuable and it makes you secure. I go to my son's house and I walk in, Zeta, Papa! She comes up and jumps up on me. Oh, she's just so glad to hear me. I bite her ear and I tell her I'm gonna put her on a biscuit. And she just holds on to me. And you know, sometimes she just don't want to let go. And my son said, well, look at her. You know, well, you know what? She knows she's loved. She wants to be there. Are you with me? That's what love is. Love, where there's love, you want to be there. You want to get there. Because I feel valuable. I'm always building her up and saying to her what she does well. Oh, she likes that. Boy, that just, you can see it. She likes that. Folks, I like that. Everybody likes that, right? Who wants to be around somebody criticizing you and judging you and sizing you up all the time? You know what I mean? You can feel that stuff, folks. But where there's love, people want to be there because they feel valued. Doesn't this make sense? And folks, that's what we want to be. Love edifies. The Bible says love edifies. It always builds up. It always restores. It always remodels. Now look at this. Now, what's the next? We're almost done. Love, we got another hour. Love, love is not puffed up. Love is not what? Puffed up. Let's look at this. Now, this word puffed up is the Greek word P-H-U-S-I-O. P-H-U-S-I-O. It's this word for puffed up. This means proud. It means proud. It means to be swollen. It means to be inflated. You are swollen and you are inflated. Now watch this. This means agape is never deceived. Now catch this. This means agape love is never deceived into thinking more highly of itself. Nor does it arrogantly claim that it is better than others. This word, P-H-U-S-I-O, puffed up, carries the notion of a person who has an air of superiority and haughtiness and who is snooty and snobbish in their dealings with others. Anybody ever say, oh, man, they're awful snooty. Man, they're snobbish. That's what that is. That's puffed up. Does it make sense? That's what agape is, not that. See, we're looking at, we're seeing what it is and what it isn't. And that's what we're going to stay on, because we're really going to catch, because we want to operate in it. This is something we can flow in. You see that? This is something we can flow in. The Bible says many waters cannot quench the love of God, neither can the floods drown it. The love of God, it's going to move. And I'm going to tell you what, where this is a force, nothing can stop the force of the love of God.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 7 p.m., Sunday mornings at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.